Hey everybody, this is Justin Case. Here's another episode of Case in Point, episode 32. And today I have trusty co-host Jody. He's back today.
Hey everybody, what's going on? Good to be back.
And with us tonight also is our good friend Ponch. How you doing, man?
Buenos dias.
I'd like to do some shout-outs real quick, kind of get some of that cleared up. I really appreciate the support from the McSauce podcast and those guys. They're doing some great stuff over there. They got some really cool movie reviews and stuff, and I still have not watched... I'm so far behind on movies, I haven't even watched Justice League yet, but I want to get... I know, it's pathetic. But I want to watch some of their... They do really awesome movie reviews, and they have some really funny debates, and they joust quite a bit, and it's a lot of fun, so they're cool. I'd like to give a shout out to Jeremiah McGuire and his podcast Buns and Roses. Give him a check. I think it's based around like The Bachelor and like drinking wine, so if that's your bag, go check those guys out. Also, I'd like to give a shout out to Ryan McCormick. He's a pretty cool guy, great storyteller. He's got a show with a Fireside Chat, the Fireside Chat podcast. Give him a shout out. Tonight we're going to be talking about, I've got like this bug in my ear about Thanos and the upcoming Infinity War movie. And I really want to, I saw some material today that kind of got me, I was like, what's going on here? And one of the things I noticed, guys, was that when we saw Thanos... was at the end of Avengers, and he has that smile, and his eyes were actually glowing blue, and I saw the newer, like the last two trailers they did for the Infinity War, I saw that Thanos' eyes were just normal color, like normal human or whatever, they weren't illuminated. It looks like the face is actually different, like they didn't have Josh Brolin's likeness down when they had at the end of Avengers. Did you guys notice that? It seems like they've got a more down, like more realistic looking face on Thanos.
Well, I think that was a different actor at the end of the.
Is that what that was? I was looking at it today, kind of prep for this episode, and I'm like, he looks different, and his eyes were glowing, you know. And yeah, I've been watching some Josh Brolin interviews about. I think he was on Conan O'Brien, and he was talking about that. And he had to go back in and kind of research a little bit on the character. Because, I mean, honestly, I mean, Thanos is cool. And to, like, the hardcore comic fans, I mean, you know, we all know how pretty much unstoppable the guy is. And kind of a little bit of his backstory. He's always trying to impress Death. And in this case, Death to him is like a female companion. And but it looks like for this movie, it's going to be... The storyline's going to be a little different where... He kind of sees what he's going to destroy half the universe because he thinks he's saving it. And Earth happens to be in the category of the reason that the universe is going to crap, I guess. So in his eyes, he's doing existence a favor by attacking Earth. So it seems like it's a different spin on Thanos. So I don't know if that constitutes a spoiler. That's kind of what's going on. And it's not something that really detracts from it as far as I'm concerned. I still want to go watch it. I think the Infinity Gauntlet looks amazing. Josh Brolin, I mean, I heard his voice on the trailer. I'm like, this is what he should sound like. This is what I expect. You know, kind of like that low, gruff voice and just kind of like a guy. Just listen to the guy, you're like, this guy could pound the crap out of anybody. And it was really interesting because Ponch, when I was talking to you yesterday, you got me to watch like the trailer again and pay attention to the fact that like, you know, something like there's the scepter that's kind of trying. It's pretty much pulling the Infinity Stone out of Vision's forehead. And what was the name of that group again? It was the Thanos' squad that he's got, his personal squad.
Yeah, they're called the Black Order.
Okay.
Black Order.
Oh, are they in this too?
Yeah, they're in there. Sometime last year. Disney has this bi-yearly convention called D23, and last year they had I wasn't there personally, this was just based on, like, images that I've seen posted online, and they had a display booth set up where they had a statue of Thanos, and then flanking him on each of his sides were members of this Black Order. The dude with the the scepter that you're talking about, Justin, pulling off the Infinity Stone from Vision's forehead. I think his name is Corvus Glaive.
Yeah, right. Because the weapon he has is a glaive. Well, at least in the comic books, it is.
Yeah, and I think that the thing behind him is he's basically immortal so long as his scepter is still intact, and the scepter is supposedly like, so sharp that it could like cut at like the molecular level. So it's supposed to be supposed to be pretty sharp.
So it's like Terrax's blade. No, I'm just kidding. Nobody cares. No one cares about Terrax.
Yeah. So
I have an affinity for like B list villains. I don't know why.
Who's your favorite that you keep on mentioning a lot? Cardiac.
Lately, it kind of circulates, you know.
Cardiac would love to be considered a B-list villain. He is way down the chain.
I think he's right up there with Death's Head. He's just kind of a forgotten property that's probably never going to be used again.
I hope it's not ever used again.
Well, you know, I think it's great that Thanos is getting screen time because I never thought that we would ever see anything like this. And I have, you know, whoever came up with the idea to really get things to this point, because I would think that someone had this whole time, like, this is how it's going to build up. Maybe someone had it in their mind to do that at you know, as far as the MCU is concerned, the Marvel Comics universe. I see MCU acronym thrown around lately, and I always have to remind myself what it is. And it was like, I have to applaud whoever is doing this because, yeah, Thanos' story in this, or his motive in this movie, appears to be much different, but it's still cool to have him in the movie, you know what I mean? And the fact they have, like, the Infinity Gauntlet, it looks great. The movie prop looks fantastic. And we got a first glimpse of it, I believe it was in the first Thor movie. They were kind of in the trophy room, or the relic room, where they keep all those weapons. And the Tesseract was down there and stuff like that. And the Destroyer was down there, that kind of like that mindless robot, you know. And so, yeah, I think it's really cool. And I think Josh Brolin, that was a great cast pick right there, that guy. It's just really cool.
Well, do you think people are going to have a hard time watching this and go, oh, I can't take this guy seriously. That's Jonah Hex. That's Jonah Hex. I can't take him seriously.
I would hope that people have forgotten about that movie by now.
I don't know. It was a big, big hit, and you know, I'm sure he's walking down the street. Hey, it's Jonah Hex. Oh no, it's Josh, guys. Oh, okay.
It's the guy from Goonies. It's the guy from Goonies.
Just like people walk up to Harrison Ford and say, "Oh, look, it's Han Solo," or walk up to Eric Stoltz and say, "Oh, look, it's Mask." You know, I'm sure people walk up to him all the time and say, Jonah Hex, right? Hey, your face got better. Because it was a wild, wild success.
Yeah.
Well, look at Megan Fox. She was in that. And toe thumbs. Her career has been nothing but upwards ever since.
Yeah, it's eye candy, pretty much. I mean,
never liked her thumbs, man. Her thumbs freaked
me out.
Yeah,
Jody always said, hey, it's the toe thumbs.
Yeah.
Well, that was the big rumor, I guess.
Oh, really?
I think she had toe thumbs. Now she's she's still married to Brian Austin Green, our from 90210 fame. I think she's still married to that guy.
Yeah, I had a teacher that had toe thumbs, and it freaked me out. But that's neither here nor there. But so it appears that maybe the discussion is that Tony Stark would be definitely one of the ones to sacrifice himself to, you know, one in the last ditch effort. And when I watched the trailer, it seemed that Captain America trying to push back. And it was really interesting because, like, Steve Rogers is trying with all he's gotten. And it's really cool because Thanos' face is kind of like, he's like, oh, I actually have to struggle with this guy. You know, you actually see some kind of, I got to put effort into this, you know. So, but someone had pointed out where if you look closely at Steve Rogers' eyes, they're not the normal color. They're actually like a yellowish brown color. So I'm like, okay, well, maybe that's nothing. I don't know, but
boy, people really pay too.
They're really digging into this. Yeah,
they must go frame by frame on that, huh?
Yeah,
I would never notice that.
I didn't, and so I watched like a play by play video on YouTube about it, and they're picking up on all the stuff, and that's why I brought up the point about Thanos' eye color, because they showed a clip of him from his first appearance, And I'm like, well, this looks like a totally different dude. I will tell you, though, I actually kind of liked the first appearance, really. That's what got me going, because he really looked like he's straight out of the comics. But that looked like a total CG face, almost. And they probably hadn't made a decision to cast an actual person. Because, I mean, nowadays, you know, as far as the face and stuff, because, I mean, nowadays with CG, you could create an entire villain out of just computer-generated.
So. Yeah, DC did that with Justice League, did that with the villain in that movie.
Steppenwolf?
And, he's awful.
Yeah, I was disappointed. I was surprised when I had heard that they were... I'm like, why would you pick this guy? I barely know who he is. I know more about the
Justin,
band.
I have over 5,000 DC comics, and I bet I can count on two hands the number that have Steppenwolf in them. I hardly know anything about Steppenwolf, and I'm like, I'm a big DC fan. I hesitate to call myself an expert, but I suppose I'm an expert to a degree, and I don't know much about Steppenwolf. So,
I put you in that category. You're an expert. You are. Thank you. And, I mean, because I'm like, this guy, it's like, I would be, you know, honestly, I would think that, see, I sound like Eddie Trunk again, I get excited, but I would expect, maybe have Trigon or someone like that, you know what I mean, because if you don't want to use Darkseid, put Trigon in there, and it's like, there's nice. What's that?
Nice choice, I did not know that you knew much about Trigon, so that was a very nice choice, sir.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, I mean, it was, I know about, you know, him and his connection to Raven, you know, Raven's his daughter and stuff, and I mean, it's, I remember reading, like, the early Teen Titans comics and stuff, and Trigon figured pretty much central in a lot of those. And, yeah, I mean, it's, why would you pick somebody like that? I'm like, this is ridiculous, and I don't get it. And it's choices like that that can royally screw a movie over when everything else about the movie's cool. And it's like, these days, with the way movies have been turning out, where it's always seems to be the movie was great, but right. And I have seen totally opposite appraisals of the Justice League movie. Like, you have some people say it was a perfect, no, but I loved it. I watched it 3 or 4 times, whatever. And it's like, and any other people say, like, this is crap. And if you got to see the Zack Snyder version, Darkseid was actually the villain. And, you know, according to the movie company, it was unwatchable. And I don't know that I believe that it was unwatchable. It's probably just not what they wanted to see. I mean, you could have a conspiracy theory all day long about how all that played out, but it was like, I don't know. It's like, why didn't you use Darkseid? Why would
I think what they were doing is, like, you know, Steppenwolf is the
Harbinger, if you will.
Harbinger, yes, that's a good choice of words, to Darkseid. So they're saving Darkseid for movie number 2. Okay, but here's the problem with that. Number 1, Justice League did not make its money back. It did very badly.
In the hole,
so,
huh?
They're planning on making a second movie, but already people have lost interest. They weren't interested to see the first part, much less part 2. And second of all, the problem with that logic, the problem with using Darkseid at all, is that he's going to, whether or not you agree with this, or whether or not this is true or not, it's going to come up as public perception as, this is a poor man's Thanos. He's a people who don't read comics, people who don't follow that stuff are going to look and go, so they have a big, all-powerful, like, Thanos and Darkseid look all obviously very similar, and Marvel has already beaten them to the punch by putting Thanos in the movies first, so to come out with Darkseid is going to look like a very, like, as bad as they look to begin with, like, they look even worse by using Darkseid. Which I'm assuming is the plan, because, like you said, they're using Steppenwolf as kind of a harbinger. But to go ahead and use Darkseid is going to look very, very second rate on their part. They really should have gone.
That's their own fault, though.
You have an entire 80 years worth of comic book history to mine from, where you could pick a. There's all sorts of cosmic villains they could pick from. Like you said, a Trigon, he's a pretty big threat. You could pick Brainiac. There are plenty of other big-time cosmic villains for them to choose from to pick. I mean, hey, I'm a Darkseid fan. I like Darkseid, but would I have picked him if I were them? Absolutely not, because it comes across as second rate and a cheap knockoff. And at this point, that's the public perception of the DC movie universe to begin with. So you're really not doing yourself any favors.
Well, that's the thing is, like, when it comes to villains and stuff like that, it's like, yeah, there's so many people that they could pick. And
yeah,
I mean, my thing is with Darkseid and Thanos, I guess I could tell them apart, and they look different to me because I guess I know them so well as a fan of comic books. Like we've always said, it's like Thor has purple. Like I've always said, Thor has purple skin. Darkseid looks like a stone, like a stone face. His outfit is different. It's more dumbed down than Thanos because Thanos is wearing like all that crazy armor looking stuff. When I was younger, I used to think Thanos was one of the Kree because of his chin. You know what I mean? But the Kree are more of a blue-skinned race in the comic books. But the thing is like, I just... Darkseid would be great where his powers are different because he's got the Omega Beam. He's got super strength. But he's not really a cosmic villain. He's more... He pretty much rules Apocalypse. And he's like an overlord kind of guy, and he's very much a terrestrial person. And he uses the gateways, the mother box, and all that to go jump from there to Earth and stuff like that to go cause problems.
Yeah, he doesn't get out much.
Exactly. So I think that reinforces your point that he would be a poor man's Thanos. And, you know, I think that that's a horrible situation to be in, and I blame DC's movie universe for that. Because the timing was just off.
What they could do too is now have you guys seen Justice League? Have either of you watched that yet?
No, I'm going to Redbox. I have not seen it yet.
Okay, well, yeah. I won't say too much, but there is a way. Don't know what I'm talking about here. There is a way to totally get away from the Darkseid stuff. There are different things that happen in the film. Late in the film, that they the whole Darkseid thing, you know, Steppenwolf being a part and parcel to him, you can totally just forget all that and get away with it and be fine with it. You can go in a totally different direction, which with the announcement of having an upcoming New Gods movie is not something I'm assuming that they are going to do, considering Darkseid is one of about three New Gods characters that anybody cares about.
Yeah, exactly.
So I don't think they're going to do that, but you could get away from that if you wanted to.
I would find it more exciting to just do the New Gods and get it over with, because seeing like are they gonna do like who's Orion's dad? Is it what was his name again? Is it the All Father or the Old Father?
The High Father,
yeah. And have like Granny Goodness and have Ed Asner be the voice of Granny Goodness.
the New Gods suck. They are terrible. Aside from Big Barda and Mr. Miracle and Darkseid, you can keep the rest of them. I'll probably watch the movie, but they are terrible. They stink.
Yeah, it's
unless.
Oh, sorry,
I figure maybe the movie might be pretty cool if they follow what's going on with if they follow what's going on with the Mr. Miracle current comic, because that's pretty awesome. Like if they went in that direction, it'd be really really good.
Well, that's a good point because it seems like they're starting to be smarten up in general and try to pull from the comics because they realize that they don't know what they're doing. You know, especially Warner Brothers. I think they're going to have to get smartened up at some point if they're going to hope to keep pace with Marvel at this point.
Yeah, I think personally, another problem I see with the comics or with DCU I remember seeing it with Justice League and also Batman v Superman, where you had a bunch of writers involved in both of those movies, and when you have too many cooks in the kitchen, you're not going to have the best stuff coming out. So
wow, I didn't know that.
They were just like, I think that's what I saw when it came to like credits. But if they were to, narrow it down to like if they still want to go with the multiple writer route, have like one main guy where everything will funnel through and all the other guys will kind of be in support of the main writer. But I don't know what DC's gonna do with that.
Well, it seems at this point too, up until probably he had left Justice League, they kind of let Zack Snyder do his own thing. And, oh, well, we're going to trust in him. We're going to trust in his vision of things. And now I would have to guess that they're going to hedge their bets on that a little bit. What he's doing is not really – people are not taking to it. And they're already behind as it is. You know, Marvel, by the time they really got their act together and came out with Man of Steel and then Superman versus Batman, they're already behind in the arms race,
yeah,
as far as that goes with Marvel. You have to make up a lot of ground. And you would have to knock these movies out of the park to even attempt to catch up with them. Now, Wonder Woman was a step in the right direction. That was a very well-received movie that was very good. But you know what? He didn't have anything to do with that. He didn't have anything to do with Wonder
yeah.
Woman. And that was that's probably a big reason why it was so well-received. It had a different tone, and
And the actors didn't have all that baggage that like Ben Affleck and all those guys have.
It's just I wonder if this, and I gotta assume that they're changing their direction on this. But like, what really has Zack Snyder ever done to garner this kind of favor? Let's just let him do whatever he wants. Let him do whatever he wants. And now it seems to me, anyways, that they are going to have to reassess things and go in a different direction. And it'll be interesting to see what this year, later on this year, what Aquaman will be like.
Boy, he's not going to be like that long-haired guy like they had on the last movie?
No, it is, but there's an Aquaman solo movie that comes out this Christmas, so it'll be interesting to see.
Oh, boy, I don't know about that. Jeez. So he's going to go up against Black Manta, and he'll have Aqualad as a sidekick, right?
Well, I don't know about Aqualad, but probably Orm, his brother, will be in it.
Oh, jeez.
A.K.A. Ocean Master.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, because like the DC like TV series are doing better than the movies are.
I think the DC shows seem to have a very... I mean, it's the WB, so I can't speak to what the ratings are like on that, but I think they have a very dedicated audience.
Right.
The people that love those shows really, really love those shows, are really excited about them.
I think the quality is good of the shows. I think the acting is pretty good. I just don't like me as a viewer. I'm not a hip, trendy, cappuccino drinking, you know, kind of guy, and I just want to see good, solid action. And I gotta tell you, I watched the first episode of that Supergirl series, and I thought it was pretty good. And I watched some of The Flash, and it was pretty good, you know.
Yep.
And I've watched several episodes of Arrow, of season one, and I'm I think it's pretty good. I have those on DVD actually, and I enjoy those. I think the hand-to-hand fighting and stuff is cool, and Deathstroke is on there. You see a tease for that. Their mask is on that island. Maybe DC just needs to kind of cut their losses with the movies and maybe just focus on their television.
Well, the movies are where that's where the money's at, though, not TV.
Well, they obviously can't do it right, so why bother, you know?
Well, I don't know if I said this already or not. I will say I watched Justice League again a couple weeks ago. I bought it. And I enjoyed it a lot more the second time than I did the first time. Once I knew what to expect and got over my own particular hang-ups on it, I really did enjoy it a lot more the second time than the first time.
Right.
I think a lot of it's been panned a lot, and I think it's better than people give it credit for, but it still definitely minor quibbles. I won't say minor. It has its major quibbles. It does have problems with it, but it's not as bad, I think, as it was treated when it came out.
Yeah, I would agree. I think for me, it's a very flawed but pretty good movie.
Yeah.
The things that they do good, they actually do very well. Like for me, I don't think this is spoiling much, but the scenes with Superman and Flash, my favorite scenes in the whole movie. Because, just their, the playoff between, the Ezra Miller and Henry Cavill as their characters. Very fun, very lighthearted, very good. And the, scenes off, you know, here and there that I don't remember particularly offhand, but I do remember there being, really good scenes that I enjoyed. But then, dear Saint Joey, some of the scenes that were bad, yeah, they're awful.
Well, that was the thing, like Batman versus Superman. It was like the movie didn't get good until Wonder Woman shows up, and the whole tone of the movie changed. And then, like, because the movie was so stretched out and just brooding and just
bloated and boring.
Yes. What did you say, Martha? What did you say, Martha? It's so stupid. And
bloated and boring, and like the fact that you finally had a Batman versus Superman movie.
They freaking screwed it.
And somehow made it boring.
Yeah.
Like, shame on you.
He spent more time as Bruce Wayne than he did Batman.
Yeah. And it was just boring and dark, and somehow Superman is the villain in it, and the world hates him. Forget it. I'm not interested in that movie. And you know who else isn't interested in that movie? The public. People are not interested in that. Superman is hope, and he is, you picture Christopher Reeve. I mean, maybe that people from our generation picturing him, but I think even kids. When you picture Superman, you picture him smiling and helping people and flying through the air. You picture sunshine. Like, he's Captain America. He's hope. He's great.
Yeah.
And so the Superman in that movie is, the world hates him and Batman hates him, and it's very dark. His clothes are dark. So it's always nighttime and it's raining. Nobody wants to see that. Nobody wants to see the Lex Luthor in that movie. People, if it's just such a characterization that people didn't want to see and that people didn't expect, and it's just I think with Justice League they really did change the tone on that, which is definitely a step in the right direction. I think they listened to people and realized that this is not working. We got to lighten up a bit here.
Does someone have a window unit going on in the background?
I don't know what that is.
It's not on my end.
The entire time.
It's not my house.
Well,
they just shut off whatever it was.
I've heard it.
Ooh,
before,
listen to that. Boy, someone just inserted another 50 cents vibrating bed. Here we go.
I've heard it before talking. I just thought it was amazing because there's three connections going on. I have no idea.
Yeah, I've heard it going off and on. I wasn't sure what that was.
It sounds like one of those StarCraft fishing boats with the outboard motors. Bill Safe's riding real. Danger Bay. Yeah, but I mean, my thing is I read that Ben Affleck is not going to do any more Batman stuff, and I don't know if that's true. I saw somewhere online that he walked away from doing Batman. Does he have a contract to do any more appearances as Batman?
Seems like he's wishy washy on like whether he's doing it or not.
Wasn't he originally going to direct the next Batman movie, and then he decided not to do it, or they took it away from him? So now it's kind of, they're not sure whether he's going to keep doing it.
Yeah, that sounds about right. And like you were saying, Justin, there's like one point where he wasn't going to be in the next one, and then like soon after that, oh, by the way, I am going to do it after all. It's like, man, just make up your mind. Just
this is terrible. I was starting to actually get used to him as Batman because I think he could do a good job.
I think he's good. I think he's a good Bruce Wayne, and I think him in the Batman costume he looks great. He's the best looking Batman that's ever been on film. Anyways, he looks awesome.
Well, and he did Daredevil was really his first vigilante foray. So he probably kind of got to cut his teeth doing that character, and kind of get him in the mindset for like a vigilante role. You know what I mean? And you know, the thing is I liked the Daredevil movie, by the way. I still enjoy it. I don't have any ill will towards it at all. I know it's not like a blockbuster smash hit, but I really did like it. Like, Jon Favreau was in it, and it was really cool. Different spin on the Kingpin, but at any rate, I had read, as far as Superman is concerned, I saw something, Jody, today that you would be interested in. I'll have to send you the link. There's a video on YouTube about what Superman 3 was supposed to be, and the main villain was going to be Brainiac.
That would have been a much better movie.
Yep, and it was Salkind. It was Alex Salkind. Something had happened. I'm going to post the video up on the Twitter and Facebook pages for the podcast.
Okay.
It was very interesting. And what they had done is like Supergirl's or Superwoman, Supergirl, whatever you want to call her, she was going to be in Superman 3, to, and now it gets a little weird, okay? So the way it went is that Brainiac found Supergirl as a child and kind of was like a father figure, right? Kind of took her on as a fatherly kind of thing. Well, then as she started getting older, he started to see her as a woman and actually be attracted to her, which is kind of creepy and gross. Oh,
boy. Yes, that boy, that's, for 1983, that's a very odd tone.
It's odd now, and it's gross, and I think it's terrible. And it probably is one of the reasons why they scrapped that idea. But, so, and then, so, like, she's essentially Kal-El's cousin, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So they wanted to have her be... have a love interest with Superman in the movie. I'm thinking, now this just keeps getting just grosser and more gross.
Well, if you just have her come from Krypton and not, like, okay,
it's if not you say it's cousin, not her, it's if they're lady. Not cousins, right, and that's why I wanted to ask the question, is because I, my understanding was that they were essentially blood related. I don't know how many people were on Krypton, and I'm not going to go down, bite out of that apple, but... I see it as a huge world with advanced civilization, and it's pretty big, you know, pretty far apart, you know what I mean? But I saw that video, and I'm like, well, this would have made a lot of sense, all the creepiness stuff aside. They could have had a pretty good movie, and so that scene where, like, the lady turns into a robot and stuff, that was all supposed to be Brainiac. And the Richard Pryor thing, that was all, like, a Hollywood decision to bring him in, and... I would have left Robert Vaughn in there. I'm sorry.
He's not bad.
No.
That movie is...
He's a good actor.
Stinks.
Yeah.
That movie is so boring.
He's got that rotating bar. Yeah, that... He's got that stupid rotating bar with all that booze. I thought that was great.
It's the Gus Gorman show. It's all Richard Pryor. And you think, oh, hey, Richard Pryor, 1983. That's his prime, right? Yeah, but I didn't come to watch a Superman movie with Richard Pryor. You know what I mean? I didn't come to watch Superman 3 starring Richard Pryor. I came to see Superman.
I already watched the toy. I don't want to see this again.
Also from 1983. That's a great movie.
Oh, it's awesome.
U.S. Bates.
That's awesome. Hey, Hi, Wonder US. Wheel, come back, Wonder Wheel.
It's U.S. Hi, U.S. Hi. It's U.S.
We're going off the rails.
He's really funny now.
I love you.
I was thinking that.
Yeah.
We need to get back. We were talking Marvel.
We're talking Marvel.
What do you guys think is going to happen in Infinity Gauntlet?
Well, I will tell you.
Is it Gauntlet or War?
Infinity War.
War.
Is it going to be two movies or three?
Just one. The way I understood, this is what happened when they first revealed the Infinity War. I think it was like 2 or 3 years ago. Initially, it was revealed as like a part one and part two, where they were going to do something similar. I don't know if they're actually doing it, but I think the initial plan was they were going to have the films, film like shot back to back, kind of like what they did with the first three Lord of the Ring movies. But I think as the other movies were released, and I guess how those storylines went, and I guess like unknown factors, at least unknown to us for now, they just left. They I think it's still gonna be a two part thing, but it's not like a part one and part two where like now it's just Infinity War, and then the second one they haven't really revealed what the title is yet. I think they're more like companion pieces versus being a part one and part two now.
So probably going to have some people getting killed off then in the first film, and then the remnants are going to be like what's left to try and fight all this back.
Isn't the companion movie, they're filming them both at the same time, right?
And I believe
the next one supposed to be released next summer, I believe?
I think so, yeah. Yeah,
I might be wrong on that.
Well, it's like it's Robert Zemeckis' style of shooting movies where you do them at the same time and run the actors ragged, you know, that kind of thing. But what you could do, see, the actors always get run ragged, but you could have, like, I know with the Lord of the Rings movies, the Hobbit movies, I should say, they had, like, different units, right? You had, like, this unit was doing this over in, like, New Zealand, this unit was doing this over in the States or whatever, so they could do things in parallel is probably what they're doing. And, like, okay, you go and do your parts over here, and then you guys do yours and whatever. But That was a good question, Jody, because I had heard that that, like, you know, they want to keep going after these movies because I'm sure they're going to make lots of money. Where do you go after this?
And, right.
You know, and I'm curious about that.
I have a potential theory, and I've actually talked about this with one of my coworkers at work during lunch times. My theory is that, yeah, I think there'll be at least one major death, possibly two. And, because my coworker, I mean, he's not as well versed into, like, the comics as we are. All he knows, his only comic information is what he gets from the movies. So, he's afraid that Thanos is going to be killed off in this movie. And I kept on assuring him, at least in my theory, that Thanos, he's too big of a villain to have been built up these past 5, 6, 7 movies, however many movies he's been being built up in, to just being killed off in this one movie.
That
so
it
I
never occurred to me.
I don't think he's going to get killed off. That's too easy. I think he's definitely going to kill at least, or I don't know if it's him or via the Black Order or whatever means, at least one major hero, maybe two, are going to be killed off. And then I don't know if it'll be established between this Avengers movie and next year's Avengers movie, or it'll be set at the second Avengers movie. But I believe the new slate of Marvel movies coming out, I think those heroes are going to be the heroes that come up and not so much take over the dead heroes' place, but they're kind of like, oh man, this is so serious that these guys we looked up to are dead, and I have these abilities to become a superhero. Maybe I should step my game up to try to help these guys out and, you know, try to defeat this big bad. So I think the second movie is kind of like not a resurgence, but these heroes, you know, they want to, like, step up and kind of like, you know, I can do this. I want to help out too.
It's like the second coming, like the ushering in of the new era. That's a really good theory, Punch. One I hadn't considered, but it really does make a lot of sense.
Yeah, and
would it be more the, like, the B list guys, like the Inhumans and people like that, or
I don't know if they'll be.
I would think that this maybe the second coming would maybe be led by Black Panther, because I think he's a much bigger deal than they were anticipating. Mm-hmm. So it makes me wonder if they is there rewrites? Was he planned to have a big role for this? But he's someone I could definitely see maybe leading. I don't know if they call him New Avengers or what in the future. But
I don't know. He's, they got the vibranium stuff, and they do have an advanced civilization. It's like a breakaway civilization. And, you know, there's a lot of themes in the Black Panther movie as well in regards to that kind of made me very interested, because there's been, well, I'm not going to get into it, but there is more conspiracy theories. But the thing is like, I noticed that it's kind of like, I'm like, okay, so let's say they kill Thanos off or whatever, but think about it this way. In the comic books, they had Adam Warlock came in and took the gauntlet, right? And it pretty much took all the combined intervention of all the remaining, like, cosmic big, like, heavy hitters. Like, you had the Living Tribunal, the Inbetweener, I'm trying to remember some of the other guys. And you're really getting to some obscure cosmic characters, Epoch and all those guys.
I don't think they're going to go with any of that stuff.
I don't think anyone's going to buy it, because the comics, I remember in the old days, no one wanted to read them, because they're like, what is this stuff? I don't understand it. Mm-hmm. And what is this Magnus versus Adam Strange or Adam Warlock stuff? Now, you do have guys like Dormammu and stuff. You've got them. He's still hanging out there. And what about Odin? Is Odin going to go up against Thanos?
And he's dead.
Is he dead? I can't remember if he died or not. He was in the Odin sleep, and then I didn't watch Thor Ragnarok, so I don't know.
Oh yeah, that will answer your question if you watch that.
Spoiler for me, that's what I get for being behind.
Sorry, I think I kind of spoiled it for you.
I haven't seen Black Panther, so I'm behind in that aspect. So
yeah, just a brief sidebar about Black Panther. I thought it was I liked the Black Panther character. I liked the actor. I thought he did a great job, and I liked all of the the tribal aspects of the fictional country that he comes from. There were people that thought that was a real country and were complaining that they were complaining about how Wakanda was represented. I'm thinking, it's not a real country, it's fictional. And it was just ridiculous. And I thought that the root of his origins in the movie were fantastic, and I really enjoy the acting job by the guy who played Black Panther. And I apologize because I'm not up on all the names of all the newer movie stars. What's that?
Chadwick Boseman.
Thank you.
I believe his name.
Okay, he did a fantastic job. Very likable character. It was great. Some of this I could not take. After the bad guy became, I liked how they kind of made him. I couldn't get behind some of the characters because I didn't feel that they fit well enough to match the class of Black Panther as an actor and a character. There's some story. I don't want to reveal anything, but overall, I give the movie probably, I'm going to give it 85%. If I had my own meter, because it was very strong acting. I thought it was great that they took a character that people, honestly, a lot of people don't know a lot about. And, he was the kind of guy that would have a small, he'd be part of an annual and he'd be kind of tucked in the back, And I remember the first time I read a Black Panther comic would be, it was a short that was part of a Excalibur annual. And he was kind of just tucked in there. He had probably 10 pages. And they would kind of just kind of throw him in there once in a while, And when I saw the Civil War movie, I really enjoyed. I was wanting more to see more of this guy because.
Agreed, yeah.
They had the scene with him and his dad. And it was like, I wanted to see more of those characters, and I wanted to see that story play out because there's just something about the class and the intrigue that the relationship between the father and son and it being more of a traditional ruling, body in that, It just had it's got a class to it that I really enjoy. And I was glad to see that character was not in any way screwed up in when he got his own film. And I think you guys might be onto something where he might be leading the pack because in the trailers, they really showed him prominently. And I can't say a whole lot because you guys haven't seen it, but, go watch it. It's very good. I give it 85%. I will say though, it was a bit overhyped for what it was. And
I actually watched it, so.
Okay.
Yeah, I watched
it. I don't like hype in general. I don't think any movie is worth any hype that's ever thrown at anything. I think it's up to the viewer to watch a movie for themselves and really walk away and have their own opinion. So, when I sit, having said that, I use that as a general statement towards any movie. And it's like Avatar. I didn't buy into the hype. And when I watched Avatar, I'm like, this movie's not that great. It's okay, but it's not great. And I'm not doing a side thing about Avatar. I'm just using the example. I just...
Please don't.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Nobody wants to see another Avatar. I mean, they want to make a sequel to that. But at any rate, it's like I don't like hype. And I feel that this movie stands on its own without the hype. And you could have a movie like the Fantastic Four films where they're like, hey, these are not as bad as I thought they would be. I would have hoped to have seen a Galactus by now. Who's to say there won't be a Galactus? They screwed it up in the second Fantastic Four movie. Use this as an opportunity to maybe, if you want to do a second threat, let's say they do take Thanos out. Well, you've got Galactus. Galactus is far more powerful than Thanos in some aspects, without the Infinity Gauntlet. In the comic books, and I believe it's, who was in the early 90s, Do you guys remember who the artist was that did Thanos? It wasn't Eric Larson. It was
Jim Starlin was one of the main guys.
Thank you. That's who I'm looking for. That's the guy. And in that time period, there was a particular issue where he had actually pretty much driven Galactus to such a rage that like he attacked Galactus. Thanos did, blasted his helmet off, and like Galactus is bald, and like Galactus's eyes were just blazing with energy, and he's just beating the crap out of Thanos, and like Thanos is like, I beseech you, please listen to me, and I don't go and do what what you're gonna do is gonna destroy you, and we don't want that from a universal perspective because it throws the order of everything out, right? And it's that kind of stuff. And as cool as it seems to be for a comic, I don't think in the movies it would really hold much water from a mass audience perspective. But I tell you, at least get Galactus in there, because I think there's a lot of people that would want to see that. You know, I would.
I actually have, building off of that, the theory I was talking about earlier, I also have another theory as to what's going to happen after Thanos in the second Avengers movie.
Okay.
If you look at the slate of Marvel movies, at least for the next year or two, Captain Marvel is going to be a movie that comes out either next year or the year after. I'm not sure. I think it's next year.
I'm pretty sure it's next year.
Yeah. So all the more better if it is next year. But from what I've been reading, that movie is going to take place in the 90s. And my theory is going along with my thought process of. Although I'm a huge fan of Galactus, and although it would be great to see Galactus done right, as you were saying, Justin, my personal opinion is that instead of trying to outdo Thanos with an even bigger celestial threat, I think it would be better if they step back and have the threat be a more personal threat, and which leads to my theory of the reason why they're possibly having Captain Marvel taking place in the 90s is because my theory is I think the Skrulls are going to be the next big bad that they're going to be leading up to. Because a few years ago, they had a Secret Invasion story mega event where about 2 or 3 years prior to Secret Invasion, that event comic coming out, the Skrulls were secretly infiltrating all aspects of like Marvel Comics life to the point where they're kidnapping certain heroes and taking their place, and it got to the point where, like, who do you trust? Because guys you thought were legit, come to find out they're Skrulls. So I think that I think at a personal level, a lot of people can relate to betrayal, trust, especially in this ridiculous political climate they're living in right now. Like, you know, like who do you trust? Who's legit? Who's not? Everybody can relate to that at some point.
Oh, it's a good idea.
So if that's relayed onto the Marvel movies in the form of the Skrulls, I think would be freaking fantastic. And since Captain Marvel, most iterations of the Captain Marvel character have at some form been related to the Skrulls or the Kree, at least, or one of those, alien races. So I think if they built up from that point, like, I don't know if they're going to do like certain flashback movies where, like, for Captain Marvel being taking place in the 90s or other ones being taken place somewhere else, where they kind of plant the seeds of, the Skrulls. They were a hero all this time. It's just with all these movies laid out, you just connect the dots. And when the eventual, let's say Avengers 5 comes out, where they reveal, these are Skrulls and they've been around this entire time. I think that'd be a really, really cool way of like having a really powerful threat without having to outdo Thanos with like some super extreme, cosmic character. Because I personally like the cosmic aspect of Marvel, like the whole, Uatu, the Watcher. Eternity, the Beyonders, the Living Tribunal, I can't remember, like, Marvel's version of, like, the name they gave him, like, the One Above All, whatever. I like that concept, but I think for public consumption, that's just going to be way too much.
It's going to be over their heads. Even in the comics, it was over people's heads.
Mm-hmm. And granted, like, I rewatched the first Guardians of the Galaxy a day or two ago, and in that movie they refer to the Eternals, but they only touched upon that. They didn't really go deep into it, but even then, like, I think if they really went deep into the Eternals, I think it'd be way too much. So I think stepping back and going for a more personal threat would be, for me at least, would be a much better way to go about it. And then from there, since they introduced the Skrulls, then that opens up the possibility of going deeper into, like, the celestial cosmic aspect of the Marvel Universe. And then from there, you can build up into, like, the bigger cosmic concept.
Just shoehorn it in there kind of gradually. You know, like a slow drip. But, you know, the thing is, what if you want to talk about a time travel perspective, what about Kang? You can throw Kang in there, because that's what he did.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah, and, I mean, it's... I still think that you could throw Adam Warlock in there, because I think you could. I think
it'd be
cool.
Was at the end of... you didn't watch it.
Yeah, I know.
He'll be around.
That's what I figured. So you can't leave that guy out. But you know, don't confuse the Eternals with the Celestials. We won't even talk about the Celestials. Nobody cares. But
well, I think if they use the Skrull concept, like you just said, you could do almost like a Civil War type of thing too. Where do we try? Is this the real guy? Is this the real guy? So there'd be a lot of like superhero on superhero fighting, which was what people like.
We'll have the Super Skrull.
You could use, you know, you could use the whole Skrull angle to say, well, is this the real one, or is this a fake one, or what's going on here?
Mm-hmm. Oh, and I just also thought of just now, too, Disney did buy out, I don't know if it's been finalized, but they're in the process of finalizing buying out the entertainment aspect of Fox. I'm sure eventually they'll reintroduce the Fantastic Four into the Marvel Universe, so... By going this route would be a really great way of reintroducing the Fantastic Four into the Marvel MCU fold, and then maybe they can be the catalyst into opening up more of like the cosmic aspect of the Marvel storylines.
Sure.
Oh, don't worry, Disney will own everything in 20 years anyway. That's all right. the thing is that'd be really great and pull some of these characters out of the mothballs and. I mean, I don't know. It's like this Venom trailer. I haven't seen anything on that, but...
Oh, boy.
We'll see what happens. I'm not hedging my bets on anything there.
I liked it. I didn't mind it. I had a lot less problems with it than most folks.
Is there another trailer besides the boring one that was there first?
No, I don't think so. I'm intrigued. I won't get into it because I already got into it when it came out. But I'm intrigued by it. I was the only.
I'm not saying I'm not intrigued. I want to see more. I want to see what he looks like. I want to make sure that he's big, like in the comics where he is. You know, the guy is like what, 3 times the size of Spider-Man. Which is doable because, like, Spider-Man in the current movie universe is a scrawny teenager. So, yeah, it's... which is preferable to the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man. Especially now, Jazz Tobey Maguire Spider-Man.
No.
Mr. Eyeshadow.
Well, I was thinking of it, talking about Infinity War. Who do you obviously? I believe what is there like 57 superheroes are supposed to be in the film.
Yeah,
obviously not everybody is going to make it through. Who are some of the people that you guys think are not going to make it through the film?
The weak ones.
Wow! Thanks for that amazing insight.
I mean,
there's a lot of rumor and innuendo on who. Some choices seem pretty obvious. I think somebody even admitted that he wasn't going to make it through, which that could be just trolling.
I don't think Drax is going to make it, and I don't think Rocket Raccoon is going to make it. Or in Groot.
Really?
How dare you?
I think Star-Lord might. Star-Lord, it could go either way. Like they could keep him as like the one of the guys in the next, you know, the new Vanguard or whatever, or he could. He's kind of like probably emotionally kind of, you know, maybe charged a little bit from the last Guardians film where he's like, hey, what have I got to lose? Because, you know, both my parents are gone, you know, and even though he had to fight his dad. But it's kind of like he's the kind of guy like, well, I'm just going to go for broke. I could picture him doing that as a character. You know, but, I mean, Rocket Raccoon, I mean, he's got a shelf life on his character because they're thinking the, what is it, the first Guardians movie said they only have a life expectancy of, what, like 2 years or something like that? Or
yeah, but it's comics. It's comic movies. They're not going to pay any attention.
Maybe it's just sarcasm at this point.
Yeah, I think he's safe.
He's more machine than raccoon now, right? What is that? That's an Imperial probe droid. That's what I just heard.
If I was a betting man, I would think this is just me. I have nothing to base this on. But if I was putting money down, if I was, I don't know what the Vegas odds are on, you know, the deaths in this movie. I don't think Hawkeye is going to make it through the movie.
You know, I was going to mention him. They said, like, how come we haven't seen him in the trailer? And there's something online about that. Like, there's a place for him in the storyline in the next movie. But, he kind of, I don't know if they know what they're doing with that guy.
Well, he had a very reduced role in Age of Ultron. Anyways. Yeah. I got married.
Oh, I'm at the farmhouse. I'm having, Wheaties with my kids. Wheaties gold.
And Jeremy Renner is a big enough actor at this point where he doesn't really need to be in these movies. I could see him wanting to not or have to pay his price tag in order for him to come in. I really don't expect him to make. I mean, plus he's a guy with arrows.
Yeah, but Black Widow, why would Black Widow still be in it at this point? I mean, she doesn't have any superpowers. She's like an assassin type person. And remember, like in the Avengers movie, they're like, yeah, this is bigger than us or whatever, you know?
Right.
And I'm surprised she's even involved in this at this point, because she'd be more involved in like an espionage kind of like hand-to-hand combat with like fellow human assassins that have no powers at all. This is bigger than them, and who knows?
I could feasibly see a scenario where they could go through and it doesn't have to be kill off, it could be retire, whatever. I could see a scenario where all of the six original Avengers could be replaced by an entire new roster of Avengers.
They were trying to do that after Age of Ultron. Remember that? They who was it? SHIELD or like War Machine or whatever was going to be like the new.
Sure.
You know, and maybe War Machine could be part of the new Vanguard. You know, I don't know if Don Cheadle wants to keep doing these movies, but he's definitely very likable as War Machine.
Didn't he get crippled? Didn't he get crippled at the end of was it?
I didn't know that was a permanent
Civil War.
Right, I don't know that that was a permanent condition, but
he got better.
I thought he was in the trailer. I could be mistaken, guys. I thought maybe he was in the trailer on his feet,
Very well have it where the War Machine armor could be what's helping him stay on his feet.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. So as far as deaths go, I'm going to shoot for the one of the big guys, only because of, I don't know if I'm like, I mean, I tend to follow a lot of like the behind the scenes stuff, not so much for spoiler's sake, but only like, I guess in the sense of, say with like, the big guys, I'm referring to like Chris Evans, Robert Downey Jr.,
right.
Chris Hemsworth, hearing about like how like with Chris Evans, he's talking about not wanting to do Captain America after like the fourth Civil War, or like with Robert Downey or Hemsworth, you know, whether the contracts are going to be up and they're not going to do the characters anymore, or like with Robert Downey, he's saying, "Oh, I'm not doing this character anymore," but yet I like this character so much, so I'm going to do cameos or whatever. But
he
I just want to do
Tony Stark.
Yeah, exactly. So I think just basing it off of that and my own thinking, again, going back to my theory of like one of these deaths or maybe the combination of deaths are going to spur these new heroes to step up and become the new Vanguard, if you will. I think Iron Man and Captain America are going to be the big deaths in the movie.
I agree. I agree.
And possibly Thor, but I don't think Thor will be. I think based on the second trailer, it's too obvious of a choice. But I think Iron Man, because his movie basically launched this entire MCU movie. You know, like, that was the catalyst of where we are now as far as, like, the MCU movies are. And Captain America, because I read a quick synopsis of Infinity Gauntlet, kind of prepping myself for this episode. And after, spoiler warning, if you haven't read the original Infinity Gauntlet miniseries.
It's been 25 years.
You're warned. If you haven't, then too bad.
Okay.
In the first issue, towards the end, Thanos basically wipes out half of all life in the entire universe with just a snap of his finger.
Right.
And I think in the second or third issue, one of the last, if not the last, hero to stand up to him before he eventually, you know, lost and died was Captain America. So I think Iron Man's death is going to happen first, and that'll have Captain America put aside all differences. Well, they'll probably put aside the differences when they realize how bad of a threat Thanos is, and then Iron Man dying will really push Captain America to a point where, like, no, we got to do this now. And Captain America's death, I would say, towards the end of the movie, he's going to die, and that's going to cause all these heroes to, like, step up and become the new Vanguard, like the next,
right,
you know, movement of Marvel movies. So those are my two choices.
No death would be more effective or have more weight than Captain America's death.
Plus, right. I'll probably get misty. Stuff. I'll probably tear up.
Oh, yeah.
I don't really follow a lot of the behind-the-scenes stuff, but even I know what you're talking about. It's not it's not something that's hidden at this point. That everything seems to be pointing that he's not going to make it through this movie. And like you said, with the scene from the book, and
which sucks.
Just,
I hate
what would have more? What would have more weight than that?
Yeah, and even though, like, Tony Stark may be like the smarts behind the Avengers, Captain America, in my opinion, is like the true heart of the team.
Exactly. Sure. Yeah. Exactly. He's the moral compass of the Avengers.
Right. And if he goes down, then, you know, I'm sure, like, all the heroes, the surviving heroes, are going to be like, well, what are we going to do now? We can't. There's no way we can defeat them now. And then all these new guys start coming up, and it's like, well, we can just continue on his legacy by trying to do what we can to defeat this guy. So those are my picks.
Well, and you didn't even talk about Hulk. You know,
I think he'll survive. I think my feeling is that he'll probably be the closest threat that Thanos will feel. Well, he won't feel threatened by anybody, but I think he'll be the one guy he'll probably pay most attention to before, you know, say Captain America. But I think I have a feeling Thanos may use Hulk as a pawn.
And what
but
about
then again, he has his Black Order, so I don't think he really needs Hulk anyway. But I don't know.
Well, and Vision will have had the Infinity Stone ripped out of his head, so
So he may be useless.
I think he's gone in this too. A, because Vision sucks, and B, because he's a robot, and you can kill him, and you can always we rebuilt him and brought him back, like. Who cares if Vision dies? He can be brought back like nothing. So I think I think he's as good as dead. I put even money on Vision not making it through the movie.
Well, in the trailer that shows him and Scarlet Witch smooching or embracing in some way, shape, or form. Mm-hmm. So in the comic books, obviously they, you know, end up shacking up. So
And I also think, too, well, I guess I don't know why I didn't really put too much thought about it until you guys started talking about it. As far as Hawkeye and Black Widow, I don't think either one of them are going to bite it, but I think Black Widow, I think she might have second thoughts, you know, kind of like where you guys were talking about, well, this is, you know, far too big for, you know, for both of us. But I think following how they've built up her origin so far in the MCU, she's been basically raised to be a weapon, no matter what. So I think she may have second thoughts, but she'll always come back to, like, well, I have to be of some use somehow. Whereas Hawkeye, he has a reason why he should not be a hero anymore, which is his family. So I think he might be, like, severely injured, or he might just say, "Screw this, man! I'm just going to stay on my farm for the rest of my life," you know. But I don't think they'll bite it.
It is going to leave quite a gap, though, with who's left, because they're going to have to introduce some new characters. They're going to take out a lot of the major ones. Walt, when you have Doctor Strange.
Yeah, you've got a lot of guys there. And think about it, too. I think one other main reason why you might see Cap go down is because he's got a ready-made replacement in the Winter Soldier.
That's true.
To take that reign. And plus, I think I read somewhere Sebastian Stan, the guy that plays Winter Soldier, signed like a 10-picture deal or something like that. So that definitely would add...
I'd be fine with that.
A lot of credence to that. And I think people would be fine with that. He's been around now for, two or three movies?
He's
so...
a cool character.
Yeah, and he's good.
And that makes sense to me, too, because in the comics, after the first Civil War miniseries... again, spoiler alert, if you guys haven't read that Civil War miniseries and then a little after that, Captain America gets killed off, and Bucky Barnes, for a decent amount of time, takes over the mantle. So right. That makes sense to me, too. I'll be for that.
There's information that I know about him that I can't say because Jody hasn't seen Black Panther. But you know what I'm talking... You know, Ponch, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah, the only clue I'll say is the White Wolf.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
are we getting Cap Wolf? Okay. Well,
I made that joke.
I spoiled it. I'm sorry, man.
Where's Cap Wolf? Yeah. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, and then Walter Simonson will come from... He'll reveal himself to be a Celestial and turn Hulk and or turn Thor into a... what's his name? Farthor? Was that his name? Remember that storyline he did in the 80s, 90s, where he did some crazy concept with Thor
and he turned into a frog? Yes.
Yeah, that's what will happen to him in the movie.
That's terrible. Well, did the Enchantress turn him into a frog? You know,
it's been a while, I don't remember. But because of that, we were introduced to Better Ray Bill, which I'm a big fan of, so... Shut up, man.
Hey, man, come on. It's like, I don't know, we'll see what happens. I mean, there was a point I was going to make, and I don't remember what it was. But I don't think that they would take Doctor Strange out this quick, because they just did one movie with him, and they're just building him up as a character. And, Jody, did you ever watch Doctor Strange? You watched it, right?
No.
Okay.
Yeah. I enjoyed it.
So did I. In fact, I have the Eye of Agamotto hanging on one of my display cases behind me. I got it for a Christmas gift last year. And it's funny because I wore it to a Christmas party. It was a Christmas Eve party. And they thought I joined a cult. And I was getting these looks from like some of the older people there. Like, they wouldn't tell me, but I knew why they were giving me the stink eye. It was because I had that around my neck. My brother-in-law had got it for me as a gift, and I put it on because I was like, oh, this is cool. You know, it's a relic. And they obviously had no idea, and they're like, no, and they just looked at me. I'm like, no, I didn't join a cult. It's the Eye of Agamotto. And that did not help matters. It just made it worse. It just further stirred the cat box. It's like when I met Dirk Benedict and I wore the NWO shirt, and he looked at it, he goes, New World Order. And he did not like that. And, it was kind of funny. I have a tendency to do that to people. And, but anyway. anyway. Well, I think we made a really, really good dent in the speculation surrounding the new movies. And how they relate to the comic books. And we even got to throw in some DC in there, which is always a good thing. Hopefully that they can regain some ground. But you know what? If they don't, no skin off my rear end, because Marvel's doing a great job. So, and I've got some movies to get caught up on. So,
yeah. Screw that. I want to see some good DC movies,
well,
man.
So would I, but I'm not holding my breath. Unless they do another... If they do another Wonder Woman, I'm sure it'll be great. But I don't see how it's going to fit into the grand scheme of things, unfortunately. And you can't expect her to carry all of it on her back, you know. I mean, it's... I don't know. You need to have multiple players that can bring something to the table, and especially if you're going to try and catch up a little bit. But it's... I actually want to see Justice League really bad, and I think tomorrow I'm going to make an effort to watch it. So, yeah. And it's funny because, like, I remember I told Jody, goes, "So are we going to do a Martian Manhunter solo movie?" And he goes, "No." He was like, it's preposterous. Even though I enjoy him as a character.
He had to give up. He gave up his seat at the Justice League table to Cyborg.
The Cyborg character looked very cheap in it, and when I've seen from like the posters and the DVD, or excuse me, this isn't the 2000s anymore; it's the 2010s.
I'll reserve my comments for after you
comment. Yeah, me too.
Okay. it doesn't translate well.
I'll say this: he's not my least favorite part of the film. Not by a long shot. He's not my least favorite part of the film at all. So.
Yeah, okay. You know, you're right in that, because there were, I won't say what, because I don't want to take a chance of spoiling it for you, Justin, but certain elements that I thought I would not enjoy just based on, like, before watching the movie, based on the trailers and stuff, I ended up enjoying after watching the movie. So, yeah, there are certain things I was pleasantly surprised by, and other parts I was just not surprised at all about, so.
Yeah, Will Smith is Deadshot for the Suicide Squad, generally panned by everybody. Jared Leto panned by everybody. That movie.
I can't speak to that. I've never seen Suicide Squad, and I refuse to watch it. So.
I'm with you. No, off. I agree 100%. I will never watch it, and I refuse to watch it. So there you go.
You guys covering both ends. You guys are wise.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. I've heard that from so many people, and I know I'm like, you know what? And it's from it's cast a wide net of viewers that all are in agreement, and I'm like, that's good enough for me, you know.
Yeah, so, you know, for me, I'm sorry, Jerry, go ahead.
All I was going to add was I am a huge Suicide Squad DC Comics huge fan of the comics.
That's a different story.
The entire run of the Ostrander run.
Good stuff.
From the late 80s. Great stuff. Mm-hmm. So anything that is in this movie would not pass muster with me. Except Suicide Squad I care to talk about. So I have not watched it.
Yeah, I read those comics, actually. Yeah, and I agree. I mean, it's those characters are actually likable in the comic books. So, but when you have good writing behind it, too. But, you know, again, it's where Hollywood wants to do Hollywood, and they ruin a potentially good film. So, there you go. And that's probably half of DC's problem. And it always has been their problem for the last 30 years. You know, speaking of, like, the Richard Pryor thing, you know, and it's, you just throw characters in there just to throw them in there, and it just does nothing. So, but anyway, I've beat this horse to death. all right, guys. Do you, Jody Ponce, you guys have anything else before we get out of here?
No, sir. No.
And
I do want to throw in something really quick, if you don't mind.
Sure, go ahead.
It'll be really quick. I want to say this when you guys, when we're talking about Black Panther. My comic knowledge isn't super deep, but my first intro to Black Panther, I mean, I was never around to like, you know, read about like his first appearance or like his annual appearances, like you were mentioning, Justin. But my personal first reading of Black Panther was, I think the series introduced back in 2005 or 2006. It was written by Reginald Hudlin. I don't know if I'm saying his name right. And it was illustrated by John Romita Jr.
Okay.
And I only read the first six issues of that line, but it's been a while since I read it, so I can't really state certain specific details. But based on what I watched the movie and then remembering what I do remember reading of that series, I think, in my opinion, I think a lot of the movie were pulled from this, at least the first six issue run that I remember reading, because this was an introduction of one of the characters that I think had a really strong role in the Black Panther movie. But just the overall feeling of this really regal, powerful country facing a threat, and how they came together and overthrew it and stuff. And the writing overall is just really well done. Like, I think the regal aspect of Black Panther, I think, was pulled a lot from this series. So if you want to have a really good introduction to Black Panther, I highly recommend reading at least the first six issues of that Black Panther run. I wasn't disappointed. I don't think you guys will either. So yeah, that's my last bit.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard good things. I've heard a lot of good things about those books.
Yeah, I recommend it. Give it a shot, man.
Yeah, there's just, there's so many good titles out there, and it's like, where do you start? But cool. One last thing I want to say is go ahead and check out tpublic.com. We've got a couple of shirts up there. Jody was cool enough to get the show set up with a couple of shirts. We got one that's kind of like a Miami-style shirt. And someone who has maybe a vice or two. We got that style. And the other one is more of a Star... Well, it's more of a Trekker of Stars shirt with the nice similar font to a popular TV show. Go ahead and show a little love for the show. We appreciate you guys' support on there. And yeah, guys, we really appreciate you hanging in there, and this episode was very good. We covered a lot of ground in a very short period of time, and I personally will make efforts to make sure that our episodes are more like this one, because it's great. And guys, Ponch, Jody, great dialogue. I had a lot of fun. And
thanks, buddy. As always, yes.
Yeah, likewise, man.
I think we all have a little bit of homework to do as far as watching some movies, maybe. Yes. Some loose ends we got to tie up, but I'm guilty of that. So we appreciate it, guys, and we'll catch you next time.